This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. The Christian tradition has much to say about fruit. Fruit is considered to be visible or tangible evidence that the Holy Spirit of God is working through us to deliver results. In the second of this two-part series on fruit, Pastor Scott delves into this fascinating subject. This message was delivered on September 30th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
A man, macho. A man is a bold and tender-hearted person. Amen.
Amen. Woo! Thank you, guys. Oh, when we were singing up here, I was like, oh, where is everybody? Because it looked empty. And I think, like, oh, you know what? They're right here. Man, and without the men in this church, man, it's kind of scary. So, yeah, and you know, the thing is, it's so good to see men leading their families to come to the Lord. Amen? Well, I have some announcements this morning. Coming up on October 11th at 6 p.m. at our good friend Ray and Doc Chang's house, they are going to show the first half of the movie I Can Only Imagine. And it's a wonderful movie. No matter how many times you watch it, it always speaks to you. And then when you hear that song on the radio, it has more meaning to that song. So if you get a chance, see John. Where's John? John Kui. He's out there somewhere. There he is. He's running. So see him. He can give you directions to the house. It's a wonder. It is. If you've never been in Ray Chang's backyard, it is an oasis with his fish pond, his waterfall, his nice green grass. It is just being there is just so peaceful. And I guarantee you, if you have high blood pressure, man, it'll just come down because it's just a place where you can go like, oh, and enjoy it. So today, after church, we're having fun day, so stick around. We're going to have a water slide. We're going to have some food and some fun and some great fellowship coming up. So, and because yesterday was the fifth Saturday, and next week Saturday is the first Saturday, we don't show up for men's ministry because it's the first Saturday, right? So we kind of got like 2 weeks off. We're kind of starving for fellowship. So if you need something to do next week Saturday, men, 10 o'clock, we have a softball game, playoffs. That's when it really counts, okay? Last year, we pretty much lost every game until the playoffs. And then we turned the switch on, and we won every game except for the last game, and we came in second place. So that's the whole plan for the year. Lose every game, turn the switch on playoffs, and bang. Everybody think, oh, we get East Hawaii. They lost every game. Easy, easy, easy. We turn the switch on, and they're like, holy smoke, where did these guys come from? It's called sandbagging. Yeah. All right. What else? Operation Christmas Child coming up. Hey, we have a plan this year. You know, because every year we take these boxes, we go to the store, we buy a bunch of goodies, and we fill them up and we send them. But somebody brought it to my attention. Let's get donations, bring whatever kinds of stuff that you want to put in this box, and let's get together one evening and have a packing party, and let's get some food involved. Man, doesn't that sound like fun? Packing these boxes together and having food and fellowship with it. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I'm in. And you know what? I will cook while you guys pack. How's that? Yeah. Might not be the healthiest food. So do your labs before we do this, okay? Not after. And then October 31st is a Wednesday. We are doing our Puna Kids Party over here. They have one in Hilo, the Hilo Kids Party. We're doing the East Side version out here. We have games in there and we have food. We plan to serve 300 hot dogs and 300 bowls of chili, and we could use your help. Come and help us on that night, and we have, like every year, we've been doing it like 4 years. We have a blast. All right, so that's what's coming up. And if you want to bring candy donations for our kids, please, you can start bringing it. I promise you, I will not eat it all. before Halloween. All right? Because I already did my lab, so it's all good. My next one is January, late January. So I'm, you know, but I'm promising, I'm hoping that you'll keep me accountable until then. Amen. So ushers, could we prepare for the tithes and the offering? You know, it's been 10 years since we started this church, and we've been faithful in taking care and stewarding what comes in and giving our share to our national church office to help run the office. And we've been doing investing in missions and all that. And as we did our membership meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we sat down in the council and said, you know, our missions giving was like 2%. I said, man, we can do so much better than that. So, and that's what's going forward. We want to do more. And later on, at the end of service, we will be doing our missions offering. So, you pray about it. But as you give, just understand, man, the Lord gives you so much back. And if you know what I mean, if you've been there, done that, you give, and you've been blessed back with so much more that it overflows, and not only overflows to you, but to your family and to your friends. And that's just a great feeling that you get blessed back, that you get to bless others. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that we get to give of our tithes and our offerings. And Lord, as we give, we ask you to bless the gift and the giver. Help us to give with a joyful heart, not grudgingly, Lord. And as we give, Lord, let us use this to expand and grow your kingdom. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. Whew, what a week. Wonderful week. It was very, very humid this week. How many of you had bad hair days because of the humidity? Yeah. Then, you know, those of you who have no hair, man, you are blessed. Yeah? Well, man, you know, Friday and Saturday, I was at our Pacific Southwest District Conference, because now Hawaii, we got merged in with the California, Arizona, Nevada, so we're part of the Pacific Southwest District. And we just came back from our conference. Frank and Marsha was there with me. And the theme for our district, our year, is momentum. And, you know, and it is very much in the lines of what we're speaking about the last 2 weeks, about fruit. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, if we're a church of addition, you know, meaning like we add one at a time. But they want us to become a church not just of addition, but of multiplication. And I was thinking, like, what would that look like? You know, then I thought, somebody gave me this example of, you know, if me and my wife, when we started out, we could have a child, and we could probably do a child every 9 months. Of course, that would be strenuous, right? But if we did a child every 9 months, that's all we could do, one child, and it'll be addition. Every 9 months, one child. Every 9 months, one child. So in 3 years, we might have, you know, three children. And that would be it, addition. But if we had children who had children who had children who had children, then it becomes like multiplication. The two become two, and then six, and then eight, and then ten. And it's the same way with the church. If I disciple Frank, then I disciple Doc, then I disciple Tom, then I disciple John. It's just adding and adding and adding. But if I disciple Frank, Frank disciples two more guys. I disciple Doc, Doc disciples two more guys. I disciple John, John disciples two more guys. And the guys they disciple others. Then we become a church of multiplication. And we start planting churches. You know, we plant a church that plants a church that plants a church. And I told them at the conference, well, I have a hard time doing that, because every time I get somebody ready, God says, thank you, whoop, gone. Right? You know what I mean? We lost. We sent Jaywin and his family out. That's why we have a whole empty space back there. Right? Before that, Pastor Kent, thank you, whoop, went to Hamakua. Scott Jennings, whoop, went to KL. And it's like, when do you say, okay, wait a minute, how am I going to do this? You know, but it's like, one of our district health coach told me, you know what, Scott, you don't need to be here. You got it down. It's like, no, I gotta be here because I don't got it down. I got so much to learn. Because, you know, if you desire to be discipled, if you desire to plant a church, man, we need a church in Ainaloa, we need a church in Orchidland, in Hawaiian Paradise Park, Curtis Town, Mountain View. You know, we need churches over there. Look how many people are out of church this morning versus how many of people are in church. So we learned a lot of things right there. And excuse me if I'm kind of fried today, but oh, that was a lot of input in the last 2 days. And it's like, I came back last night, I was like, whew, that was a lot to try to process. And it's like, there's no time for recovery because I get this today, got fun day right after this, got volleyball. It's like, yahoo, let's go. Yeah. Give me some energy drinks and some vitamin C and B1 and let's rock and roll. Yeah? Sleep is overrated. Amen. Woo. Yeah, and so we had a great time, learned a lot. So, hey, I want to start thinking our mindset, changing our mindset that, hey, we need to disciple people to disciple people to disciple people. We need to get people ready to plant churches who will plant churches who will plant churches. Not for the sake of just planting a church, but for the sake of reaching the lost. We're not going to send anybody out who's not ready because we're just setting them up for failure. But we want to make sure you're strong, solid, ready. And if you have a desire, hey, you want to go to Mexico, plant a church, let's go, let's do this. You want to go to Japan, plant a church, let's go, let's do this. Philippines, boom. Ainaloa, Orchidland, wherever you desire, wherever God puts on your heart, let's get it going, let's start training you, investing in you, and bang, let's do what the Bible says, that take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's our assignment. Amen? Amen. Woo! So now we're going on fruit. You know, several years ago when I was at New Hope Hilo and I was doing the Ho'olaulea, we would love to, you know, think of ways of how we can raise funds for our children. And I got invited to go pick some oranges out on Hamakua. And you know those local oranges, they don't look very good, yeah? They're kind of like, they're not orange. So why do we call them orange? It's like brown and yellow spotty and kind of looks nasty. But man, when you eat them, they're really good, like the best oranges you ever ate. And so I got invited to pick some, and we're going to, you know, cut them in half, stick the lihimoy, and sell them for a quarter. And so we went out, we got invited to go pick from this beautiful orchard. So we go over there, and the owner tells us, okay, go pick whatever oranges you need, wherever you are, but stay away from this one tree. It's like, you know, what's up? You know, yeah, the oranges on this tree is sour. So I was thinking, like, okay, that's good advice. We will not pick from that tree. But I was thinking, like, why won't you cut it down? You know, it's using up all your resources. You got to fertilize, you got to water it, prune it, rake up the leaves. But I think, okay, maybe he kept it. That's a good, I can think of how many pranks to prank people with a sour orange, man. Woo! Good thing I'm a pastor. I got to behave. Sometimes I don't, though. But so it's like this tree was identified by its fruit. And he said, stay away from it because it is sour. Big, beautiful orange tree, big, beautiful fruits on them, nice big ones. But it was sour. Yeah. And when you have something like that, stay away, right? You stay away. Like, if I was like a very bitter, sour person, it's like, hey, it's Friday night. Let's call Scott. Let's hang out with that sour guy because I could use some souring up. Right? No way. It's like, oh, hey, we're gonna go fishing. Shall we call Scott? No, he's just sour. No, I don't want to hang out with him. And if I'm bearing sourness, nobody would want to call me and hang out with me because don't want me to rub off on anybody. But if I was sweet and encouraging, hey, we're going to call Scott. Yeah, let's call Scott because he's going to bring food. Yeah, you know, and he encourages us. He may not catch the fish, but he can put the bait on the hook. Yeah? So we are identified by our fruit, and if we you know, bear the kind of bad fruit, then phew, who wants to hang around with those kind of people? In Colossians 1:10, it says, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." I mean, we are called to bear fruit, doing good work. And not only that, we are called to grow in the knowledge of God. And John 15, and I asked you guys to read that, and I don't know how many of you did, but if you did, give yourself a pat on the back. I see nobody patting himself on the back, so okay. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not going to, like, shame on you or anything like that. It's not what we're about. John 15, abide in me, or remain in me, connected to me, together with me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So we need to stay connected, plugged in, together, we're one with God, so we can bear fruit. So number one, what is fruit? The Greek word used for fruit is karpos, which refers to fruit of the vine or the trees. And in the Old Testament, it can refer to one's children, born to your family. In the case of bearing fruit for a Christian, it means producing something similar to what the attributes of the tree or plant is like. For example, a vine can produce grapes, and the fruit that is like similar to what it is. Grapes come from a grapevine. You're not going to get grapefruit from a grapevine, or oranges from a grapevine, or pineapples from a grapevine. You're going to get grape fruit. And so if you remain in God, you're going to bear similar fruit. The key is that fruit must be bearing, and must be bearing the same fruit that represents our Heavenly Father. So what is fruit? Fruit can be results or outcome of what we do. Psalms 128:2, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Now, that could be the result of, you know, you sharing your faith at work, where you go in your home. And the fruit could be the result that people come to the Lord. Could be results or outcome. What you ever heard? What you remember? What you sow, you will reap, right? You sow bad stuff, you will reap bad stuff. You know, you sow good stuff, you will harvest good stuff. Result or income. A righteous person will find prosperity as a result of our work. Working under God and in obedience to His ways can be very, very fruitful. What is fruit? Prosperity. Psalms 1:23, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield fruit in season, and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does prospers. You know, I look at Pastor Aaron and I see fruit. You know, whatever he puts his hand to, it seems like it prospers. When he puts his hand to his garden, he brings fruit. Real fruit. And it prospers. He takes care of the worship team. It prospers. And I see fruit. And when we can do that, when we can stay connected and be delighted in God's word and his law, meditate on his word, and we will be like that tree planted next to that water that will be bearing fruit constantly. No matter if there's a drought, it'll still do good. What else is fruit? Attitudes and action can be fruit. Bad attitudes can be fruit, bad fruit. Nobody wants bad attitudes. How many of you I had to work with people with that attitude. Yeah, I mean, it's not fun. You know, when my children were growing up, I really wanted them to play team sports so that they could understand what being on a team was like. Because when you're on a team, you got people who whine and complain. You got people who work hard and put out and don't say a word. And you have to learn to work with both types. But man, working with someone with a bad attitude, it takes a lot of patience and a lot of praying. But when you have a good attitude, man, isn't it nice hanging around, working with somebody with a great attitude, like, yeah, I got it, don't worry about it. We have a problem, and not pointing fingers at who caused the problem, but hey, let's fix this problem right away, quickly. Isn't it great working with somebody with that kind of an attitude? And in the actions, man, if you're filled and you're obedient, man, your actions will speak louder than words. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Man, just remember that. And you can look at that and you can use that as a guideline. Is my fruit love, joy, peace, patience? Oh, patience? Well, wait a minute. Hey, I got some of the fruit, man. Patience, I'm working on that one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm getting there. I mean, you can use this as a guideline. What else is fruit? New converts. You ever led anybody to the Lord? Hey, that's fruit. And I think that's one of the most fulfilling types of fruit that you can bear. When you get to sit down, pray with somebody, and ask them to receive Jesus. Man, you just changed their eternity. You just led them to the Lord. Your feet might not touch the ground for weeks because of what you did. And it is like the greatest feeling in the world that because of you, someone will be in heaven. How's that? You have affected somebody's eternity. And I think that's one of the most fulfilling fruits to bear is fruit. Romans 1:13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I had among the Gentiles. Paul wanted to go to Rome to harvest some fruit, to get some souls, to bring them into the kingdom. And that is part of the Great Commission. Go, make disciples, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's what we get to do. So there's all different types of fruit. And if you go to the Bible, you're going to read about all these different types of fruit. And the thing is, we are commanded to bear fruit. We need to bear fruit, because if not, we're going to be that branching. All right? Like I said, we're going to cut them off. We're going to give them to James. He's going to make smoked meat. Yeah. I wonder how Scott-flavored smoked meat would taste. Probably not so good. So what is the source of fruit? What is the source of fruit? John 15, and I think I read this earlier, part of this anyway. Well, the whole chapter 15 is about the vine and the branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Probably meaning nothing fruitful anyway, or worth bearing fruit. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. The key here is, you know, we need to be a part of the vine, abiding in the vine. We cannot produce anything that is worthwhile apart from being connected to God. I mean, it's like a fan. I mean, if you have a beautiful fan, but it's not plugged in, what good is that? Man, if you have an air conditioning in your house that it never goes on, fruitless, right? You have a car that you never drive. What's the purpose? You know, you have a Christian that's not bearing fruit. What's the purpose? We need to bear fruit. And the source of that fruit is when we stay connected, plugged in to the Word, to God. That is when we can bear much fruit. And number three, here we go. We are identified by our fruit. Matthew 7:15-20. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, now understand that good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Think about it. I look at my life, and I look at my life before I came to the Lord. Man, there was a lot of bad fruit, man, that I produced. And some of them are still out there that, man, I got to go try and correct, and it's not easy. You know, if you consider yourself a Christian, then people should be able to look at you and find fruit in your life. Why? Because a disciple of Christ will produce spiritual fruit. The new converts, the good attitudes, the good action, the fruit of the Spirit. That kind of fruit. Matthew 3:8. Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So John the Baptist called people to more than words of ritual. He told them to change their behavior and prove it. Prove it by the way you live, that you have repented. You repented of your sins. Prove it. Not by saying, oh, I've changed. How many times sitting in counseling sessions and they say, oh, I've changed. I did this. You know, if you've truly changed, you wouldn't have to say I changed, because it'll show. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins. Meaning that God, he looks kind of like beyond our words of religiousness or activities, but he looks at our conduct, our actions, to back up what we say. So we have to really understand that, man, people watch us. People watch us because we come to church. Not knowing that, hey, I come to church to get myself better. So once in a while, yeah, when bad fruit going to pop up, because I went yell at somebody, I went beep my horn at somebody, I told them they're number one out the window because I was mad. And that's bad fruit. And once in a while, when bad fruit going to pop up, cut them off, repent, and move forward. But sometimes people outside of church, they don't understand that. So they judge us by that one little mistake. But we have to try better to bear good fruit so that people can see, like, wow, that fruit is different. Yeah. Bear fruit in keeping repentance. So John asked people, he told people, man, it has to be more than words. Got to be our actions. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that gives thanks to his name. Man, when we sing, that's fruit. When we're praising God, that's fruit. Our lips should confess God, praise his name. Man, in our typical day, we get up in the morning. Oh my gosh, it's time to get up already. Oh, like, Yahoo, God, you got me another day. Yes, I'm alive. I get to come to church. I get to get up on 4 hours sleep to praise him. Yeah. Throughout the day, wow. If it's hot, Lord, thank you, because it's sunny and we're not flooding. Right? I mean, imagine if you lived in the Carolinas. They're still suffering from water over their heads. Man, we got it here. I mean, it can rain a ton over here, but the water will go disappear fast. I mean, do we thank God in the morning, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, or do we just thank Him when we get up, or thank Him when we sleep, or just thank Him when we get a parking stall? I mean, what is it? What is it? Are we constantly bearing fruit? Are we constantly using our lips to praise the Lord? Right? Or do we just praise Him when we're only in the mood? Or do we just praise Him when we're in church? When I get to go fishing, I mean, it is just wonderful because I love being down at the ocean and I love hanging out with the guys. And I went fishing this week for a brief while and I had a blast. I had this big fish out. I mean, it was so big that I tried to pull it up the cliff and it broke my pole. And I was like, yes, Lord, thank you so much, because I got to fight that fish for like 20 seconds, 30 seconds. I got to turn that fish because it was in the rocks. And wow, it was. I got my Fitbit, right? And I tell you, fighting fish is better than exercise. My pulse rate went up to 130. Talk about aerobic exercise, man. That got my heart rate going. Doc probably saying like, no, that's wrong. But man, and even if I broke my pole, still yet, man, I had a great time and wonderful time praising the Lord all the time because the weather was good. Even if I got rained on for 3 hours fishing and I was soaking wet, I slept in my sleeping bag in wet clothes, woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning shivering, and all my extra clothes was wet. Praise the Lord, because I am at the ocean. Woo! Right? And before I would be cursing and swearing, but not now. Different fruit. Amen? Great. Can others identify spiritual fruit in your life? Do they look at you and say, why are you always so happy? You know, things are stressful here at work. Why are you always so happy? Because I got Jesus. Yes. Can people identify your spiritual fruit? People are watching you. They're listening to you. And I hope that your actions point them to Jesus. Amen? So here we go. Types of fruit. Bad fruit. Beware of the false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are vicious wolves. You know, I read this. You can identify them by their fruit. That is by the way they act. So you watch people. You see people. You see people you work at. You see their fruit. You don't have to point it out to them and let them know. You don't have to do that. You just love them. But you, how many of you thinking about this can say, wow, I see fruit of people. I understand now that that's the kind of fruit that they bear. And I don't want that kind of fruit. I'm not going to hang out with that kind of people. Matthew 3:10, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear, I like how it says, always says good fruit. Because it doesn't just say fruit. It says does not bear good fruit. You might want to underline that. Is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, because we cannot just bear fruit. It needs to be good fruit. Amen? Galatians 5:19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. When I read that, how many of you could look on your past and say, oh, I think I did those things. That was the fruit I used to bear. And I like to say, used to. Once in a while, I do have an outburst of anger, but I try to repent and catch myself quickly. But that's like bad fruit. We cannot judge our fruit by others. You know, I look at the other person, well, you know, he had worse fruit than me, so mine should be okay. No, we use the Bible, the Word of God, as our gauge for bearing fruit, not other people. Amen? Good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Right? So that's why I encourage you to read the Bible. Get it in your head. Drop it down 18 inches into your heart. So when you get squeezed, what comes out? The good fruit. The one that you put in your heart. The Word of God. That's what we need to do. So what is the key to bearing fruit as a Christian? What is the key? Man, I think if you get anything out of this, man, just stay connected to God. Get in His Word. You need help, let us know. We have a life group at Blaine's on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock in the morning. We read the Bible. We get into His Word Thursday morning at Blaine's in the industrial at 5 o'clock. Yes, it's early. And if you want to get together with other people, then, you know, I'll show you what we do, how we read the Bible, how we get the Word of God in our head, down into our hearts, and then out of our hands, bearing fruit. And I think that's the key, is just stay connected to God. Stay connected to the fellowship. Come each week, get the encouragement, get the prayer that you need. So that, man, we, as a body of Christ, we can, if you can just picture us as like a giant tree with all different kinds of wonderful fruit hanging off, great attitude, praise the Lord, new converts, you know, and that's what we would look like, is a tree that's bearing much good fruit. Amen? Man, you may put away your notes. We're going to get ready to take our missions offering. And what we do with our missions offering, we've been helping. In fact, I just got a request from Bob Hunt. Is our director of Foursquare Missions Press. They printed material and give it out to missionaries throughout the world. Like the Yes booklets we have, that comes from them. They print a lot of stuff. And we've been supporting them this year and giving him our missions offering so that they can print printed material. And I realize that this way, we're not just helping one missionary, but we're helping all the missionaries. And if any one thing can help all the missionaries, is the printed material and our prayers. And if you cannot give, no worry. Then I ask you to pray. Pray for those who are going out and going in harm's way to spread the gospel so that people can receive good news. And he sent me a letter just this past week. And I guess the last quarter of the year is always a struggle for them to get stuff printed. And they needed a whole bunch of things printed so that they could put them. Our Foursquare denomination puts together almost like a Christmas child box, but it's called a gospel box. And it has a lot of things that they give out to children so that they can see what having a relationship with Jesus is like. And they send these gospel boxes all over the world. The last one, I think, was to Egypt. And it got held up in customs. So they asked us to pray. And we prayed and we prayed. It got released. And it got to the children. And it was like just so, so wonderful. And you can go anytime to our website, the International Church of the Foursquare Gospel, ICFG. And you can see the missionaries. You can see their stories. Some missionaries you can't see. They got to be blurred because of their protection. because they're in like the Middle East and some really dangerous places. But you can see, you can hear the testimonies and of all the wonderful things that they're doing. And you know what? We're a part of that. We are a part of that. Whether we give, whether we pray, and even if you're a part of this fellowship, you are a part of that. So thank you so much for giving to missions. So ushers, could you get ready? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the men, you ready to close and sing? So I'm going to pray, and then the men are going to come up. So Lord, thank you so much that we get to give to missions. We ask that you would bless this missions offering, that it will go and print material for our missionaries across the world, from east to west, north to south, wherever they may be, whatever they need, that it will be provided because of the generosity of your people way over here in Hawaii. So bless this missions offering, Lord. May it go to the ends of the earth to reach the people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, ushers. I know the ushers are scarce because they're all up here. So that was your time for your ladies to have stepped up past the buckets. Because I need the guys up here. Yeah. And if you are a guy and you didn't come up and sing with us, man, you can come step up with us right now. I challenge you. I challenge you. Come up here and join us. Man. Yes. You don't, it doesn't matter your age. Because look, Levi, he's passing the buckets. He's one of us up here. You know, Levi wakes up his dad on the women's ministry Saturdays and gets him down here very early. And it's like, man, we need more young ones like that, because we need to be raising up the next generation, because we ain't lasting forever. Amen? Right. Hey, I'd like to thank Myra for this beautiful lei. Thank you, Myra. She went to class and she was making this lei. And you know what? She thought of me. And I was thinking like, wow, if you guys during the week, if you guys have a thought of me come to mind, just pray for me, because I need the prayer, all the prayers I can get. So why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? And let the fruit of your lips praise the Lord with all your heart.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.